go out on the ocean, and if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat.
You are listening to an encore presentation of Lifeline's The Whole Story, originally aired on April 7th, 2014.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Lifelines. Here we are again. It's a Monday. And you are with your host, Seashell, a.k.a. The Liveaboard. This is the show in which we talk about life on a boat and life in Avalon. And this week, my theme is the whole story, as in the overview, the works, the highly granular, infinite information that shows the big picture in high-def technicolor, from above or beyond or a position of power. You can tell what sort of a mood I'm in. I'll give you a little musical interlude if you promise to come back and listen to the rest of the rant. This is Logan T. Smith with his version of the whole story.
You don't get the whole story all the time. You know, like drinking and driving. When I was growing up, on TV and in school, they'd always talk about drinking and driving is bad, and they'd show you a picture of a crashed car and say, drinking and driving kills. And I thought I knew what driving was, and I thought I knew what drinking was. But they never really explained it. And so we're on a road trip in the black van with no AC, and not surprisingly, my dad got thirsty, asked my mom to give him a drink. She puts the straw in the juice box and starts to hand it to my dad. I'm going, no! You cannot drink and drive, Dad! And he says, Logan, that's not what they mean. But he still didn't explain it. And no one ever has.
And that was a little non-musical interlude. Logan Smith, talking about his inability to ask decent questions, I guess. I was trying to play the whole story from Tim Miller. We'll try that one now.
Have to say I was not expecting this at all. Please help me to understand what you have said. How you told me that was crazy. I'm guessing that I will never, ever, ever really know. I took it easy and now I'm gonna pay the price. Is this the result of doing what I thought was right? Maybe it's me, I'm not ready for this. And now it seems funny what you and I have become. And it will not be like father, like son. I won't let you down. Some time right now. Wondering how this is going to turn out. I'm not sure what is real and what is allowed. Hope you told me the whole story.
Sometimes soon you will be all the things I have wanted.
was an abrupt ending, which I didn't do. Tim Miller did it. And that song, The Whole Story by Tim Miller, came from a Spotify search for the words The Whole Story. There seem to be trends in musical themes or titles, at least on Spotify. Usually my topics lead to spiritually dominated music for some reason. Last week, the topic of spring yielded mostly jazz. This week, The Whole Story had mostly unplayable, expletive-laden rap and other types of angry songs. Interesting, as if the search for The Whole Story is so frustrating as to inspire anger. The Whole Story is actually a myth, right? No one can ever know the whole story about anything. There's always going to be some factor or perspective that is hidden, some detail unspoken. Hollywood gives us the illusion of a satisfactory story from movies or TV shows where all of the loose ends are wrapped up at the end. Life, of course, is not like that. We wander around our personal worlds with loose ends flying out behind like an unraveling sweater, like cobwebs of unfinished projects, relationships gone bad without closure, bills unpaid, plans unrealized, futures dashed, pasts regretted. Not to be a downer or anything, I don't think it was, but when my dad was on his way out of his life, he expressed no fear or sadness about dying, but he did say that he wished he would know how it all turns out, as if any of us get to know that. And maybe that's why the idea of God is so inviting. If anyone has the overview, it has to be God. But we mortals scurrying around like fleas infesting the planet have no overview whatsoever. Even those rare few who get to see our blue marble from the Mir space station don't get a real overview. They're too far away. We're too close. Where's the middle ground? Mir, that orbiting multi-nation neutral human outpost that is temporarily exempt from the bickering going on down below. What? You didn't hear about this? Here's the way Megan Garber discussed the latest poly-science weirdness in the Atlantic on April 2nd. Space has been often celebrated as a place that allows humans, literally and otherwise, to transcend the petty divisions of life on Earth. Astronauts, upon seeing the planet from outside its borders, often comment on how small the planet's vastness makes our differences seem. The grounding philosophy of the International Space Station, first articulated at the height of the Cold War, is that there should be a place outside of Earth dedicated to international cooperation. Its logic so common and so comforting that Bette Midler wrote a song about it. Now I, here in the studio, cannot avoid the obvious. So we're going to hear that song while we both rest from the sound of my voice. This is From a Distance, the Patty Larkin version by Bette Midler.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. From a distance, from a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. There are no bombs, no bombs, no diseases, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we even though we are at war. From a distance, I can't comprehend what all this war is for. From a distance,
apologies, that was Nancy Griffith singing, and I believe Patty Larkin also has a version of that song, but I must have clicked on a different one. So back to the space thing. A memo that was sent to NASA recently, NASA employees, announced that because of Russia's ongoing violation of Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, the U.S. Space Agency will be suspending its contact with representatives of the Russian government. So down on the mother planet, the respective countries of the Mir astronauts are fighting, leaving the island of Mir in limbo. Are the astronauts nationalistic, I wonder? Are they arguing about the issues up there? It's bad enough to be stuck on an island with a person you are sick to death of. What must it be like to be trapped in a tin can in outer space with a frenemy? Or are the astronauts shaking their heads and praying for some planet-wide resolution so they can get on with the business of putting humans out in space? Because we are approaching another space race, apparently. That's what the major news outlets are all spouting. Actually, since 2006, they've been spouting that. Does that mean that someone with some overview that none of the rest of us have believes we are closer to annihilating the planet than would make us generally comfortable if we knew about it? Whose kids are going to make it out into outer space and be the colonizing seed pods of the human race? Americans? Russians? Chinese? Does it matter? What changes will have to be made to guarantee a future for whomever is left? And who will be left out? I guess my overview doesn't stretch farther than my lifespan, and probably not even that far. It's not unusual for people to be myopic about their world. Look at us. Living paycheck to paycheck or dole to dole. There are those who don't look farther than their own navels. A friend of mine just told me about a guy he knows who spent the last 20 years doing nothing but mow his backyard. And his lawn looks great. But is that what we're on the planet to do? It's not even his job, like for a city park or a baseball field, which at least provides pleasure and usefulness to a whole community. Well, I'm not one to talk, although I do anyway, obviously. I haven't done anything momentous. Of course, I don't sit around watching grass grow either. At least I look around and try to figure out what's going on. And I vote. Apropos, tomorrow is voting day, people. You live in a democracy. It is your right and privilege to choose who will make decisions for you. You were not able to vote for your parents, so you can make up for that now by voting for your community leaders. You don't get to gripe about how things are run if you don't participate. I'm sure you've heard that before. And you, community leaders, how are you going to get the whole story? Or as much as is humanly possible to know? When the future of your community is entrusted to you, how will you personally gather information, weigh it carefully, pro and con, and then present your decisions and reasoning to your friends and neighbors whom it affects? And, oh, you captains of industry, I ask you the same question. Are you looking at the whole story when you make your plans? When you tear down, build up, rearrange the furniture, change the rules, fire and backfill? Is your vision myopic when you plan? Or do you engage a wide, undistorted view? 2020 need not only be in hindsight. Okay, I need a breather. Here's more music to let you call the station and tell me why my perspective is puny and that you know what the real whole story is. 310-510-7469. We're just going to play a little Bella Fleck. I'm going to tell you a story.
Thank you.
And that was Bela Fleck. How can you stay upset when Bela Fleck is playing? Ah, yes. I believe people shy away from learning more about the whole story. The whole story is our topic. You are listening to Lifelines, by the way. And we do have topics here. People shy away from learning about the whole story overview because it gets too darn complicated and inconvenient. And once you know several sides of any one story, it makes an obvious right decision impossible to reach. And that is not a satisfying end to a made-for-TV movie. Compare the decision of going to war against Hitler, slam dunk, and Vietnam, kind of complicated and not so black and white. And, of course, those conclusions only come in retrospect and from someone who is not there. Humans are not built to internalize entropy. We don't do well with that. Stressful. We like to know we are on the right path. We have momentum. God is on our side. Whatever. And there's that monotheistic reference again. I am going to play Mahalia Jackson. Mahalia. Thank you, Mahalia Jackson. Somehow that vision of holding the whole world in your hand makes me think of that things kids do where they hold up your thumb and finger with someone in the gap in between and say, "I'm pinching you, I'm pinching you." What's to stop the world from getting crushed in that hand? "I'm squishing you, I'm squishing you." Like the earthquake in Iquique, Chile. I mean, if you look at the pictures of Iquique, Chile, it looks a lot like Avalon. It's a little resort beach town. Now it's a big resort mess. Look on Google. There's pictures of boats everywhere in little tiny pieces. Things on fire. It's not nice. Okay, so since I'm bumming out, I'm not going to share that with you anymore. I'm going to play music, iPod head music for the rest of the show. And unless you have a topic you'd like to bring up to cheer us all up, and you can call me at 310-510-7469. So here's some music to get us out of this funk. Funk, funk, funk. Here's Dave's True Story, Crazy Eyes.
Got a blue eye. that's deeper than any blue. As for the green one, I think that it's charming too. But with the two of them together, I'm left in great perplexity each time those crazy eyes gaze on me. 'Cause with that blue one, you tell me you think I'm swell, but then with the green one, you hint that I'm in for hell. Now watch your devilish delight mix with such blithe mendacity each time those crazy eyes gaze on me. Nothing more than trouble in a crazy quilt disguise. Oh, those crazy eyes. Oh, those crazy eyes. Seems those eyes are gone and set a trap for me. I tried to hide it, but what a delicious funk. I tried to divide it, but that's when I know I'm sunk. And so I twist between these whirlpools of despair and ecstasy each time those crazy eyes gaze on me. Oh, those crazy eyes. Oh, those crazy eyes. You're nothing less than heaven fraught with danger and demise. Oh, those crazy eyes. Oh, those crazy, crazy eyes. Seems those eyes have had the final lap on me. You got a blue eye that's deeper than any blue. As for the green one, I think that it's charming too. Put the two of them together, I've got no chance of breaking free. Not when those crazy eyes gaze on me. Not when those crazy gaze on me.
That's Dave's true story, Crazy Eyes. And we have come to the top of the hour, and this is KISL Avalon 88.7 FM, right here in Media Park.